Hey, it's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour you a cup. We're going to have a good time.
It's going to roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
And that it will. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, keep that wheel a-rolling. And crush them snakes, and let this broadcast be a snake crusher, as we've already prayed for it to be. Let it be an encouragement and a strength to the saints out there. Looking mighty bleak, Lord, in certain ways, but we've read the scriptures. We know the promises, and there's never been a promise that you've never kept. And you've promised the tares will be removed, and we praise you for that. Now grant us that blessing we've prayed for on this broadcast, that it be a blessing to the saints that listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be with you. I haven't done as much radio broadcasting live this week as I wanted to do. And, boy, another Saturday Radio Ranch Wrangler time came up. Don't have Right and Ready Richard with us today. He got called out on a fire call, but we got charismatic, smiling cowboy Kyle right there. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, sir.
And we got hooked up by phone line down there at the church. Just Jason, our Radio Ranch Wrangler. Jason, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And then we got an honorary Wrangler this morning. He's basking out there in the sunshine down in Florida. It's Rich in the East Coast. Good morning, Rich. You there?
Good morning, man. Beautiful day.
Good morning. It is. You know, the way we work it on these Radio Ranch broadcasting days is we just kind of throw it out to whoever, and we'll go with whatever the Spirit leads us to go with. And so we'll just all of a sudden have a moment of silence to see who comes out of the chute first with whatever they got to say.
Well, I'll go out first, and I'll say, even though I wish Richard was here, there's more coffee for me. So,
oh, I wish my people out there could see the gift that the Radio Ranch Wranglers gave me when I returned from my little hiatus for about 3 weeks. I did take a vacation. And first time long vacation like that in 30-some years. Come back, and my office is totally clean, refurbished, new carpet. Just incredible. If I always called my office my cave, kind of my own cave, and it's a separate building from the house. That way I could just be out here, and sometimes I get... Well, let me put it this way. Organization and tidiness has not been a real strong point with this pastor. When I came back, man, everything is great and clean, painted, new carpet, new arrangement with my computers, and y'all did a good job, Kyle and Jason.
You're welcome.
So...
Well, you know, Pastor, I'd like to address something, if it'd be all right.
Yes, it would be.
This war in Libya. I was watching the broadcast, and I was thinking it might be a really good idea to pray that the wrath comes upon those who are using this Jewish harvest, this war in Libya, to further their own ends. and that the retribution doesn't come back on the country, but comes directly back on the snakes, those, you know, bastards in D.C. that are causing this whole thing to happen, so that our people don't get punished, but the ones that actually are doing it are getting punished.
Well, let's talk about that. That's something that's current event item needs to be talked about. But first of all, do you know what you're talking about? Because I'm told that's not a war over there. That's called a kinetic intrusion or something like that.
A kinetic intrusion, huh?
Something like that. They don't call it. They're not calling it a war. Have you heard that, guys?
No, I didn't hear that. But, you know, originally when Obama declared a no-fly zone, I didn't realize that no-fly zone meant let's bomb the crap out of them. I thought it meant no-fly zone.
Well, I was talking to one of Akers' Diamond Men, and he'd heard them using the term, saw it on Drudge Report as well. They have, they're not really calling it a war. They're calling it some kind of intrusion, but they're not using the word war. And he'd heard one general a few days ago say, the reporter said to him, well, I thought Gaddafi had agreed to the ceasefire. And, well, he had. Well, then why did we fire on him? Well, we fired on him so that he wouldn't be tempted to break the ceasefire. And see, if you think about it, this is a demonic reasoning. It's the same thing that happened down in Waco. We went in and burned and killed those people for the sake of the children. You know, God knows how many children are killed. And if they are bombing over there, they're saying that Gaddafi, the way I understand it, has attacked his own people. Well, first of all, we don't know what those rebels stand for, if there are rebels there. And second of all, I'll lay you dollars to donuts and throw in, I'll bet my boots and throw in the spurs, that we've killed more civilians, if we're in fact bombing right now, in the last week and a half, or whenever it started, a week, than he did all the time he was there. What do you want to bet?
I bet you're right.
I bet you're right.
And it's the same mentality. It's a demonic mentality. It's serpentine thinking, like you had in Waco.
Well, I don't know. You could be wrong. We have smart bombs. These smart bombs know.
They know the difference between a rebel and a non-rebel.
They do. They know. I mean, we have the technology.
That's why they call them smart bombs, huh?
Right.
Well, here's something to think about. Let me ask you this, Rich. Why do you think there's a war over there?
Gee, I don't know. It must be because they raise a lot of lettuce over there and a lot of spinach and maybe a little corn.
No, you're missing the point of the question, really, seriously. Why do you think there's a war going on? What makes you think there is really a war?
Well, because Hillary Clinton was on the radio telling us, and she wouldn't lie. She's married to Bill.
See, here's something to think about, man. I was thinking about it the other day, and I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, none of us know. Nobody in America knows if there's a war going on over there. Think about it a second. How would we know? That movie called Wag the Dog left an impression. I watched it back in the Clinton days. It left an impression on me. Because the movie theme was this. The president had to get the people's minds off of something, so they had to start a war. And so they started the war, but there was no war. But they made the American populace think there was a war because all they had to do, all it was a movie production.
Mm-hmm.
And all you'd have to do to make us believe there's a war is show film footage of bombs going off, rockets being fired, somebody supposed to be a rebel riding down the street in a car shaking his pistol out the window. And a few scenes like that, and the commentator coming on and interviewing a military man, and you could make up a war, and no one would ever know if there really was a war or not. It's something to think about.
Usually, Pastor, if whatever the local news is saying, if their mouth is moving, they're lying.
Well, yeah.
So it's not... I usually try to get my information through more, international broadcasts. And, I mean, it's not bulletproof, but usually if the Bible says that, you decide a matter with a multitude of counselors. And so I usually try to get as much of a far-reaching, broadcast on something. Talk to the... people out there in Europe, in the Asia, in the East, and see what all of their broadcasts are saying, and then I think you get a little bit more truth out of the matter.
Well, I think that's wise, and I'm not saying there is or isn't a war, but it's not something to throw out as far as the possibility of not being a war, because Jesus said there in the last day phenomena there would be earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars.
Right.
So it does make you wonder. But that there is a war going on over there. It has nothing to do with trying to help some people out there. It has to do with oil wells.
And yep, absolutely.
But what's disturbing to me is that how little opposition there is to this anymore. I don't pay much attention to news anymore, but I don't see that there's any civilian protests about this war. Have you seen it, anybody?
Well, what I think that is, Pete, is that whenever there's a some people in Washington, the pro-life people, and there's a million of them strong, they don't get the press. So there could be all kinds of dissension across the country. But as far as the media goes, you'll never know about it.
Well, that's a good point.
The talking heads on Fox, they're the fair and balanced news.
Oh, yeah.
They're definitely against, I don't know if they're against the war or not, but they're definitely against Obama, because the right's always against the left, left's always against the right. But there was something earlier this week that ABC News said that, I thought was quite humorous. They came out and they say, the bombing continued in Libya this week because Gaddafi just wouldn't quit. And it's just like, well, you got to be kidding me. That's your intelligent news, Well, of course he's not going to quit as the bombs come falling down, on supposedly his commune and everything like that. He's just supposed to roll over and say, okay, now you can arrest me and kill me for my war crimes. It's just ridiculous,
It's like we have a war because somebody fights back it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when they fight back, then they're a terrorist.
Yeah, and when we invade a country, when we invaded Iraq, they used the word insurgents against the enemy.
Right.
Insurgents. I mean, you're in your own country, and you're trying to defend your own country from an attacking army that's coming into the country, and you're called the insurgent.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, Pastor, they're supposedly fighting on the side of the rebels, and nobody has a clue what the rebels are, what the rebels stand for. They could be Gaddafi's, they could make Gaddafi look like a nice guy.
Right.
Who knows? They have no idea. And 3 weeks ago, the rebels, they had backed Gaddafi up into a corner. If they were going to go in and fight for the rebels, that would have been the time to do it, because all they would have had to do is go in and help them. They had them partner whipped. Well, then the tide changed. And then about 2 weeks later, Gaddafi has them back down to this one city, and then we decide to come in and fight for the rebels. Well, that is just totally ridiculous. If people can't see that this is all just a game for something else that's going on,
And it's something that you can, it's obvious that something's going on. You look at the timing on it. I mean, you know, there people were, everybody was up in arms talking about, oh, Charlie Sheen. And then all of a sudden we got this earthquake and these nuclear reactors leaking over there in Japan. And that got to be pretty big news, and people were talking about it. Well, it got to the point where something had to change because there was too many people talking about what's going on over there in Japan. They were talking about the radiation, the fallout, how far it's going to reach. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a war in Libya. And they don't talk about Japan after that. And initially, I thought, okay, they had to start a war to get people's minds off of Japan. They had to go over there and drop some bombs. Well, like you said, Pastor, it's the rumors of wars, wars and rumors of wars, and that very well could be a rumor of war. You know, they had, the French are supposedly the ones, the first people that wanted to go over there into Libya and to start this war, and we followed the French over there. Well, they've been interviewing some of these French soldiers on TV. And the reporters were asking them, well, okay, so who is your commanding officer? Who's running this war? And nobody knows. Oh, well, it's the head of NATO. It's the NATO top guy. And they said, okay, well, who's that? And nobody knows. There's a war going on, and nobody can tell you who's running the war, who's in charge, who's the commander. And, you know, that pretty much tells me, okay, you know, that there ain't a real war going on.
And it came perfect timing, got people's minds off of the radiation.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it came out where, okay, over here in Japan, it wasn't just plutonium and regular plutonium that was used in a nuclear power plant, but it was a weapons-grade plutonium that shouldn't even be used in a nuclear power plant. You know, they're not talking about it. It's to the point over there right now. They've had people calling in, and if you look at what people are saying that are from the United States that got trapped over there in Japan, there's been a couple of calls from people over there to radio shows and stuff over here where they've done interviews. You know, and they're saying, okay, they're not telling you that there's no water over here, there's no milk, there's no food, there's no gas. You know, it's an absolute mess over here. They're saying everybody, all the troops within 200 miles, U.S. troops, have been evacuated. The troops, the U.S. troops that are 200 miles away, they're on standby, you know, to be evacuated. And what's Obama do? He goes off and heads down to Brazil for vacation.
It must be kinda a nice golf course down there.
Yeah, well, and then they didn't cover the protests down there very, very, very much either. You know, when Obama got down there, he was going to do a speech, and the Brazilian government had to fight off the protesters that were protesting Obama and ended up firing rubber bullets at him and using tear gas to get the protesters away from Obama.
That's funny because, you know, being an archer, sometimes we, you know, they have a thing called rubber dubbers that you put on the end of the arrow, you know, and if you, you know, used to be me and my buddies when we go hunting, you know, we'd be driving out and you'd see maybe a moo cow or something, you know. Well, it was fun to put a rubber dubber on the end of that arrow and shoot those moo cows. So I could see the enjoyment in those guys, you know, firing those things towards Mr. Obama. So,
are you shooting four defenseless moo cows? I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah, those were in my non-cowboy days. I wouldn't do that now.
Oh. Well, it's pretty clear that this thing in Japan, first of all, why did they have weapon-grade plutonium? It was either a form of weapon against us or sell it to our enemies. And there was a time in America, they didn't say Japanese, they said Jap.
Yep.
And they said dirty Jap. They said dirty damn Japs. And they were known to be sneaks. And as I pointed out in the last scriptural insight and study, now who's supposed to repent? Our forefathers of 70 years ago? Because if this had happened in Japan 70 years ago, they would have rejoiced. But now we rush to their aid today. So we can confess the sins of our forefathers, or we can confess our sin. And as we've mentioned before, there's still no mention about those poor people in New Zealand. Tens of thousands of homes still without water, sewage. No one's saying send money over here. And you just watch it. It won't be long, and they'll be having adopt a slant-eyed Jap child to get that blood into our gene pool, just like they did down there in Haiti. And they'll use it to their advantage. And God, I think, there's a scripture. Get some scripture.
Well, and it's,
go ahead.
It's interesting because they did a poll over there in Japan, and it was somewhere around 38 or 39% of the people, when asked what they thought of the earthquake, the tsunami, and what was going on over there, 39% of the people said, this is the wrath of God coming down upon us.
And even our lying reporters that are over there are calling their government liars, you know. I mean, it's like this week, they came out one day, I don't remember which day it was, and said, the tap water over there has too much radiation in it for infants. Well, the very next morning, they were coming back and saying, I guess the tap water's fine to drink, you know. I mean, and it's been that way the whole time, you know. They've been talking out of both sides of their mouths. Usually the first thing reported seems to be the truth, and the second thing seems to be, oh crud, we can't say that, you know, so they come back with something else. You know, and just yesterday, Friday morning, they came out, I haven't heard lately, but they came out and said one of the reactors had a breach in it, and it was letting more radiation out into the air. So I haven't heard the update on that, but it didn't sound good. So.
Here's a scripture, Proverbs 8:29, folks. When he set for the seas its boundary, so that the waters should not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Now, what the Bible is saying is that the Lord made it in his creation. He made a law where the waves cannot go beyond what he says. Listen to it again. So that the water should not transgress his command. Now, that means that he's in control of the waves. And when you have a tidal wave that hit that country like it is, it's not just a fluke act of nature. God controls those waves, and that was the will of God. And I believe that Isaiah 29, it's a little bit of a repeat from a radio rant, scriptural insight, but that I did recently. But in Isaiah 29, you have a story about a city called Ariel. And it's really a place called Mount Zion. Because in 29:8 it says, who waged war against Mount Zion? Now, Zion is us. And I've pointed out, particularly in that series I did on the 11 messages on prophecy, God still has a land and he still has a people, and that land is Zion. Now, Psalms 83 talks about nations that are against Zion and determined to destroy. In this Isaiah 29 passage, it shows that God is the one punishing Ariel, but there are enemies coming against him. And it says in verse 5, but the multitude of your enemies shall become like fine dust, and the multitude of the ruthless ones like the chaff which blows away. And it shall happen instantly, suddenly. From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder, an earthquake and loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire. And I think that's what we have over there in Japan. And I'm beginning to think that this fire that you read about in the day of the Lord, in the last days, Radiation fits it.
Oh, yeah.
The description of it. A consuming fire.
Sure sounds like a nuclear blast.
Yeah, well, but the fire lasts even after, the radiation lasts and continues to go on and on. Now, Jason brought up to me just the other day another point about fire and radiation. You want to make that point, Jason?
Yeah, well, I was going to, there's a couple points that I was going to make. I was reading in Revelation 9, and Revelation 9 says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but torment for 5 months. And the torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man." And thinking about the torment for 5 months and the sting of the scorpion, when you see somebody that's stung with a scorpion and their reaction, it is very, very similar to the reaction of radiation poisoning. And it could be that that torment and the torment for 5 months, it goes on. If you read Revelation 9, the rest of the chapter, it talks about, they'll be tormented for 5 months. They'll seek death. They won't find it. They'll want to die, basically, and can't. It could be something as simple as, radiation poisoning. Could be radiation fallout affecting people and, them tormented with that for 5 months. Another interesting thing about this passage is it talks about the locusts. And has anybody been checking or seeing what is going on as far as locusts?
No, sir.
No, I haven't.
In Australia, I pulled up a news report here that I got from Australia, and this was from, I think it was yesterday, and it said 24,710 acres of barley and wheat have already been completely destroyed due to locusts. They've had, their crops are being completely destroyed. They've lost 25 million carrots to locusts, and they've got videos on the locusts over there, and it's a plague. They darken the sky. They are like a cloud coming in, and locusts in South Australia, they're starting in South Australia, they're headed north, and they're destroying their crops, they're destroying their everything. And they are, even over there, they're considering it. They're saying, we are having a biblical plague due to locusts. It's kind of interesting because it's like these plagues are coming on us. Australia, what does the Lord have to do to a nation before they realize, okay, this is the wrath of God? These people over here, they're saying, this is a plague. This is coming from God. They're saying that in Australia. They were saying, look at what people over there in Japan are saying. 39% of them are saying, this is the wrath of God coming down upon us. How low does the Lord have to bring a nation before a nation will wake up and say, okay, this is the wrath of God. We got to repent.
That's a good question. I don't know how low. It's like a spell. People can't seem to acknowledge this is God. But that's quite a story.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
I wonder why God's wrath is on them. Australia isn't starting wars all over the world like we do. And if that's what he's doing to Australia, we've got to watch out.
Well, Australia, they've been one of the things that could have been, with what they did with the gay marriages in the last couple of years. They're pushing that for here now. They did take away everybody's guns. They got everybody disarmed over there now. Murder rate's gone through the roof. There's a lot of things that, we really don't know, that have gone on, or we don't take as take seriously, but for instance,
right,
the Lord said, if you don't have a sword, sell your robe and go buy one. Well, they made that illegal to do in Australia. They took away everybody's firearms. Which is still, we might not understand it, but it's still a violation of God's law.
Yeah, and we don't know what all they are doing over there.
Exactly.
Just like we don't know what plans the Japs were making. But God, we know they got that nuclear-graded...
weapons plutonium.
Yeah.
And another thing is that we've been doing, too, is we've been praying for a preliminary strike upon those that would come against us. So who's to say that that's just not an answer to prayer, what happened over there? And the Lord was answering our prayers, going and saying, okay, you know, these are some of those. They were digging a pit for you guys over there. You know, now I'm going to take them and I'm going to push them down into that pit.
Yeah. What I see in that Isaiah 29 passage is that God is against Ariel. That's us. But he will be the one that handles us, and he's not going to let our enemies destroy us. And he saw the enemies coming, and he said, go and make them like fine dust. And suddenly they had catastrophe hit them. And I believe that's what went on. The Spirit witnesses to me. That's what happened to these dirty Japs. Now, I want to make this clear, ladies and gentlemen. There are Japanese Christians. I'm aware of that. I believe that. I believe that others can come in the covenant. Though Christ came to establish the new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, but talking on a national level, I am. And on a national level, they have national characteristics, just like the Cretans that Titus was told about. They're lazy gluttons, not to be trusted, liars. That didn't mean every Cretan was that way, but that was a characteristic of them as a nation of people. Well, they're still sneaky Japs, and I believe that they, based upon their history of sneak attacks, when they attacked us, going back there in the 40s, MacArthur said, I'm not surprised. This is in keeping with their history. They've always been known to be sneaks and the hit when no one's suspecting. And I suspect that they were planning something for America somewhere down the line, either selling that plutonium to other countries, but they were up to no good for us. And I think God took care of them. And I do think...
after the biblical numbers, too.
What's that?
It's been 70 years since they... The biblical numbers of 70?
Yeah.
It's been 70 years since the Pearl Harbor attack. So they could have been actually using the biblical numbers to attack us and figured, okay, time is right.
Well, 70 years ago, when they started attacking in the world, they did. Like when they went into China... They were horrible. They rounded up the daughters and the wives of the people, put them in compounds to use them for their soldiers on R&R. They took the civilian population and started doing experiments, medical experiments on them, treated them like animals. They were barbarous, cruel captors to the prisoners. And 70 years rolled around. Just like in 70 A.D., God's wrath came upon Jerusalem. And I believe Jerusalem was hit in 70 A.D. because of what was done to his son in the crucifixion. So that 70 number is a crucial number in way of judgment. Good point.
How much time?
Yeah, very good point.
How much time? We can go to other points. Let's see. We've been broadcasting about 35 minutes. You got another point to make?
We're talking about the war in Libya earlier, and we have to... I heard a report last night that they claimed that we had our people on the ground in Libya 3 weeks ago. So it sounds like it was a CIA operation from the get-go. And we can't forget that our president is the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. What an oxymoron, huh?
Absolutely.
You know, I think he is an oxymoron, come to think of it.
Well, yeah, he's an abomination. What is he, you know? We don't know if he's Christian, Muslim. He's not white. He's not black. He's an abomination as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting just how much they're protesting him, and it's there's even been a change recently. You know, it used to be that, you know, they'd call him Obama or Barack Obama, and now you flipping through the stations on the radio and stuff, and it used to be that if you said Barack Hussein Obama, that was a racist remark, and now they're calling him Barack Hussein Obama. They're calling him you know, a Muslim. They're calling him all kinds of stuff, and it's getting the people are changing, you know, and they're not liking him near as much as they used to.
Well, the spell's breaking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. Well, now, he's the epitome of the welfare president. He doesn't do any work. I mean, we thought that the other guys took vacations. This guy, Air Force One is his junket plane. Him and Michelle take off all over the world and millions on these junket trips, and there's no fruit coming out of that guy at all. I mean, not to be expected anyway, but as far as a president, I mean, the guy, every time you look at him, he's just, he's on another vacation.
Yeah. Have you guys heard anything about the radioactive spill up in Canada?
In where? Jason?
Canada.
No, I really haven't.
No.
It's kind of interesting. This is one that isn't given much attention either. You know, and with all the focus and everybody talking about nuclear fallout, this up in Ontario, Canada, they had one of the power plants up there had, they say, was a pump seal failure. And they just had some technical difficulties, but they lost thousands and thousands of liters of radioactive waste, and it was pumped directly into Lake Ontario. And this happened on March 16th. Kind of interesting how they don't cover that one a whole lot, as much as they're talking about radioactive and fallout and all this kind of stuff. I guess people up there are pretty pretty concerned about it, you know. But what's to say that it was, you know, an accident or a pump failure, so to speak? You know, we know that these people, that there's these creatures of instinct. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and they kill anything. And you know, that's what we got to start being suspicious. We got to start saying, okay, are these killers? Are they out to destroy us right now? Is there a war? Is there a radioactive war going on? And we're just completely oblivious to it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that you could have an outfit like that accidentally dumping water into that lake.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I have a hard time believing.
Well, who's to say that it's not an angel from God sent down to loose these things upon the earth? You know?
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, like Pastor said earlier, I mean, it could be describing the fire coming, you know, falling down from the sky.
That's a good point, don't you think, man?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, something's going to kill a third part of the fish in the sea. I mean, something's going to kill them. I don't know what it is, you know. Anyway, I'd like to read, we talked about the wars and rumors of wars. I'll just go ahead and read the scripture. I'll read it from Luke. It's a little different than the one in Matthew. Matthew actually mentioned rumors of wars. But in Luke 21:9-11, it says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in various places, diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." You know, just wake up, people. Don't be fearful. You know, this is all prophesied. Just make sure you're ready.
Well,
and it's interesting that in Luke 18:8 it says, you know, when I return, will I find faith? And you know, there's a lot of people that it's like right now that they're completely given up. You know, it's like, okay, this is the end of it. You know, nothing else I can do. You know, now this is the time that we're living in, is to cultivate faith, you know, trust the Lord, you know, make sure that you have the, you know, you have the seal on your forehead, that you're marked, you know, and that you are being found faithful, because this is before his return.
That's good true. Point. And while we're talking about that mark, that's the circumcision made without hands. And that's what you receive when you are baptized into Christ, you know, in his name, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
That's a good point.
And another point needs to be made. If ever the Passover was kept, you better be keeping the Passover coming up, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I forget sometimes that there's a lot of people that listen to us that don't have Bible understanding. They don't know what's this Passover thing.
Yeah.
So let me explain for those that are the newer comers and are very ignorant regarding the Bible. That's not to insult anybody. It's like old Will Rogers says, everybody's ignorant on some subject or another. But if you never heard the Bible, never read the Bible, you're ignorant on it.
Some of us more than others.
Right. In the Bible, there's a story. When God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, they had the Passover. They were told, instructed to take the lamb, kill the lamb, and take the blood, and put it on the doorpost and lintel, and then to eat the lamb. And if the Lord saw that blood on the doorpost and lintel, the death would pass over their home, but it hit the homes that didn't have it. Now, when we're baptized into Christ, that blood of Christ washes away our sins, and we are in Christ. But as we point out in our booklet called Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy, the early Christians kept a day called Passover, and it was a gathering together. And the Passover is still to be kept. It was kept actually before the Passover event in Egypt. It's a special day. And on that day, we come together. We have worship service. And we have communion. And you enter in to that circle, a yearly cycle of that's entering the rock, as far as I can see, for a fortress of protection. And you keep the 91st days, you get the promises of Psalms 91, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Now, what's going to happen this coming Passover? I haven't a clue. But I will tell you what I do suspect. There is this passage, I'm going to read it to you, in Isaiah 14, verses 20 and 21. And it says this, let me read. Wicked seed, prepare thy sons for slaughter, for the sins of their fathers, that they may not rise and possess the land and fill the world with wars. Now, one of the reasons that God was against the Tower of Babel, where they wanted to become one. So he looked down and he says, now they've become one, they can do whatever they want. Well, we've got almost a one world government. They think they can do whatever they want, go fight in war wherever they want. They make money, great money off of war. And the booklet we're offering in our recent Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine, War is a Racket, speech by Smedley Butler, Major General Smedley Butler, back in the 30s. It's a racket. They make all this money off of war. Well, God says the wicked seed are going to have their sons killed because they'll continue to fill the world with war. Well, there were a lot of sons killed on that Passover a long time ago in Egypt. So I wouldn't be surprised to see death come. to households this coming Passover, but I don't know when this is going to happen. I do know it is going to happen. So I want to put that out. Keep the Passover. We're going to be doing live streaming and have worship and communion on that Passover day. What day is that?
April 2nd. And it falls on a Saturday, which is good because maybe God will even force a few to take it, you know, unknowingly, you know, because you know, it goes from 1 o'clock on Saturday because of our spring forward time change to 1 o'clock on Sunday. So
on that Sunday morning when just regular Christians are taking communion, they're keeping, in a sense, the Passover, whether they knew it or not. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Good point. It's mercy of God. We're living in exciting times, folks. This is the time to be found faithful and to do. Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith? Faith is acting upon belief. Hallelujah. Exciting.
And you talked about that Psalms 91 and read some out of there, but that the one that people should really be thinking about too, I mean the whole chapter, but verse 10 says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And with what we got coming, we got these plagues coming. I mean, the evidence is there. This radiation can be considered a plague.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's important. I mean, this is probably the most important Passover to be kept since that time of Egypt, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt.
That's what I'm thinking, Jason.
I'm in agreement with you, gentlemen. I think bang. Time is short.
And I got, how much time we got left? Are we about out of time?
We've done 48 minutes, so I guess that gives us 12 minutes left.
I had one more scripture. It's kind of not related to anything we've talked about, but I wanted to read it before we ran out of time, and it's Jeremiah 31, verse 7. It says, for thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. And I think that that's just, you know, it says right there, it says, say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. And I think that that's an important prayer to be remembered in the times that we're living in. And, you know, have faith in the Lord that it don't matter what's coming, you know, he has his people, and he's gonna look out after his people.
It says, say what now?
It says, say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel.
All right, people, now you that are listening and all your Ranch Wranglers here, let's say it as Jason leads the way. We'll say it, and we'll say it all together.
O Lord.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Save your people.
Save your people.
The remnant of Israel.
The remnant of Israel. O Lord, it's in Jesus' name we call for this to be done.
Yeah.
Thank you. We know it will be done.
Amen.
Lord, I want to say, and as I pray right now, there are those that need to become part of that remnant. Help them to fight away the fear. Fear is from the camp of the enemy, and it counsels out faith. And you said, as Kyle read, do not fear when these things happen. Lord, I know those Hebrew boys were able to walk through a nuclear furnace, so to speak,
yes,
and not even come out smelling like smoke. So I know you can get us through what all is happening in this world. And so we look to you. Keep your word. You've never not kept it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yeah, that's a good scripture.
Yeah, it is, and that's in Jeremiah 31:7. And
you know, this sounds pretty wild, but we prayed about, we bound. Remember, here a while back, I was talking about that son of hell and buddy of Alex Jones, Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Talk about two peas in a pod, those bastards. Anyway, we bound old Charlie, remember?
Yes.
Because he was right there on front of the radar screen called TV. And who's to say that the Lord didn't answer that prayer in a big hurry with that Japanese tsunami? Might have taken the tsunami to wipe him off, but he sure lost his first place as far as publicity goes.
Yeah, he did.
And we forget the power that we have as a praying people, as a remnant. So we are.
You mind if I,
go ahead.
You mind if I add in a prayer while we're doing a little praying now?
Say again.
God, our King, I want to offer a prayer up.
Yes, please do.
To our Father, Heavenly Father, our King, we come before you humbly before your throne, and we know you are in charge of everything.
Yes.
Lord God, we ask you to sow dissension in the ranks.
Yes.
Lord God, we bind our enemies, the ones that hate us and hate you and hate your children. We come against them. The power of Jesus Christ, because he said we could do miracles. Yes. And we're claiming that power. And we want to cast dissension and strife into the camp of the enemy.
Yes.
We want to send confusion into the camp. Lord God, we want them to be like the battle before Jehoshaphat, where all the enemy factions, the three armies, got together to come against Israel, and they destroyed one another systematically. Lord God, we're asking for that destruction upon our enemies. We ask, Father, that they hate one another, that they backbite one another, that they become jealous of one another, that they steal from one another, that they kill one another, harm one another in ways that we can't even imagine. We call for your power and your angels to blind them and to just cause total destruction in their own ranks, that we might have a holy laughter as we see how powerful our God is and what he can do to the enemy. Pray it in the name of Jesus, our King. Come
yes.
quick, Lord, and do your worst against. Prepare their sons and daughter. Let them hear. Let them come up against the Father, and you just wipe them out. Lord God, we pray power be manifest. We be able to experience. In the name of Jesus, we claim it. Amen. And we loosen it in heaven. Be it done.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah, that's something you mentioned, Rich, there, come quickly. You know, it's time to hasten that day, you know, and get this thing done. Yes.
Well, that's what Scripture says. Looking forward and hastening the day of the Lord.
And he's going to protect his that are...
Well, you know, we've had a little of this potassium iodate stored here at the Radio Ranch, and I guess we still have some,
yes.
Kyle?
Yes, we do.
And we've been offering that to people on the ministry. I think it was $30. The people don't support the ministry, it's $50. And we've had some people that not been on our mailing list order it, and we've held back till they have to wait. We want to make sure those that are on the ministry that want it get it, and I think it's worth taking still, but it occurred to me this thing is so massive that what we got to take is just faith.
Yes,
absolutely.
And we go through it. And we go through it without being harmed. And you know, there's a scripture, Jesus said, pray that you might be found worthy to escape the things that are coming. Remember he said that?
Yep.
Lord, we pray right now for us and the remnant that we would be found worthy to yes. escape the things that are coming.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us be with the elect.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, you've thought about what exciting times these really are that we're living in.
Amen.
And the people don't have a clue. They don't know who the God of the Bible is. They don't know who Israel is. They don't know anything about these covenants and promises that we're talking about. We're privileged.
Yes, we are.
They know all about Charlie Sheen.
Good point. And his goddesses, a couple of high-paying whores. You know, I hate to be morbid, but I'd like to know how much money they make.
I'm thinking it's not enough.
Yeah, good point.
Their payment is, they're getting a payment now, you know? It's this stuff is just going to go down. You know, it's pretty neat on the ministry, too, the Nancy show. Started addressing iodine like 3 weeks ago, you know, well in advance of this reactor thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's great how the Lord is using that to help our people stay healthy and give them the word in advance of what's coming down.
Yeah, it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It was funny to me how as soon as the word went out about the potassium iodide is how the news people came against all the side effects that it gives you, and you know, basically vomiting if you took it on an empty stomach type thing was about it. And you have all these other drugs out there for years that their side effects are death.
Oh yeah.
And they never ever say anything about it, so that kind of made me think that, you know, it wouldn't be too bad to have a little iodide on here.
Yeah, I saw it on CBS. They had their medical professional said, oh, by all means, don't take potassium iodate.
Yeah.
Them lying bastards. Hey, you know, men, we're about out of time. It was good to be with you. And ladies and gentlemen, remember this Radio Ranch Coffee Wrangler time is made possible by your prayers, your tithes, and your offerings, as is our 24-hour, 7 days a week broadcasting on WTWW. Lord Jesus Christ, bless those of you that are His. Bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift His countenance upon you, and grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Goodbye, men.
Good.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.